Now let's move on to news about the negotiations over the so-called fiscal cliff and what seems to be a standoff today between President Barack Obama and House Speaker John Boehner. The president's latest offer includes preserving tax cuts for Americans who earn less than $400,000 a year. Mr. Obama encouraged his Republican friends to
take the deal.
The president then added,
but they keep on finding ways to say no as opposed to finding ways to say yes. And I don't know how much of that just has to do with, it is very hard for them to say yes to me.
Not long after that, House Speaker John Boehner practically sprinted to the microphone to assure the president that it's not personal, it's politics.
And I hope the president will get serious soon about providing and working with us on a balanced approach.
The House will vote today on Boehner's so-called Plan B. That would preserve tax cuts for all households with incomes below $1 million instead of Obama's cap of $400,000. The president could take that deal, Boehner said.
Or he can be responsible for the largest tax increase in American history.
So that's where things stand today. Now, if you're getting fed up with it all, so is Boston University economist Lawrence Kotlikoff. He says the political theater surrounding the fiscal cliff is overshadowing what he believes is the true crisis, the massive funding gap for Social Security and Medicare. Kotlikoff talked recently about this with my co-host, Meghna.
Welcome to Radio Boston, Professor Kotlikoff.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let me ask you, you are not afraid of the fiscal cliff. You don't think this is a crisis?
It could become a crisis because here's the deal. If you're an employer and everybody's telling you this is going to kill the economy starting January 1st, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and wait for your customers not to show up, or you're going to start laying off workers now in anticipation of not having customers? You're going to start laying off. And if you start doing it, then guess what? The people you are hiring are somebody else's customers, and they're thinking the same thing. And you have unemployment, you have a recession, and it's because of coordinated panic. It's not really because of the fiscal policy change per se.
So in that case, do you think that the moment that we're at right now is one of these manufactured crises?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Had the president and the other politicians and media said this is absolutely necessary and this is going to make the economy more secure in the future, had they spun that tale, then the employers would be much more confident about the future. Confidence is a public good, and these guys are destroying the public good.
Explain to me clearly what you think the real coming catastrophe is.
The real problem is that we have been running a massive Ponzi scheme for six decades under every administration since Eisenhower. What we've been doing is allowing each generation of old people to take money from the young and give it to themselves. And we've promised young people, gee, don't worry about it. We're going to call the money we take from you taxes. But when you get old, we're going to give it back to you in spades as transfer payments. So we've used words and we've used accounting to keep it completely off the books. That's the fiscal gap. That's what separates all the projected expenditures as projected by the Congressional Budget Office and all the projected taxes. The difference between the two is $222 trillion. That's what we're short.
Are you really calling Social Security and Medicare a Ponzi scheme? I mean, politicians have said this and crowds raise the pitchforks in anger.
Here's the thing. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. A pox on both of their houses, in my view. But how do we really define a Ponzi scheme? A Ponzi scheme is a financial operation which is not properly disclosed. So we haven't been properly disclosing who's paying for these transfers. So today's middle-aged and older people haven't been told for decade after decade that we're leaving bigger and bigger bills to their kids. That's why it's a Ponzi scheme. When you use deceptive accounting, you're engaged in a Ponzi scheme. And that's what Madoff did, Ponzi did, and the U.S. government has been doing for decades.
And you've come up with sort of a whole suite of proposed reforms that you call the Purple Plan because you believe it appeals to people across the political spectrum.
Right. These proposals are things I came up with, but in consultation with a lot of economists. What they are is really very simple solutions to our long-term fiscal crisis. You got to realize we got 535 members of Congress. Not a single one of them has an economics PhD. The government in general is not run by economists in terms of the policymaking.
The Fed is, though, and you didn't seem to think too well about what Ben Bernanke has been saying.
No, I think Ben's tried to keep a lid on. I would give him about a B or B plus for the job in general that he's done. But he's kept in place a banking system that's unsafe at any speed. And now he's contributing to panicking the public about the fiscal cliff. And Ben's a friend of mine. We have a lot of respect for each other on an academic level. But I think that he's not doing a great job in this context.
Let's talk in a little bit more detail about what the Purple Plan, your plan, has for let's say, revamping and saving Social Security, because by some measures, the Social Security Trust Fund and its assets could be exhausted by 2033, so actually not that far away. How would you save it?
Well, I would retire the existing Social Security system and then put everyone into a personal account. So everybody would contribute 8% of their pay into an individual account. And this might start sounding like George Bush, but it's not, because I have very little respect for what he did as president, and I'm not proposing what he proposed on this. So please, listeners, don't get crazy until you hear what I'm saying. Everybody puts 8% of their pay into a personal account. The government makes matching contributions on behalf of the poor, so it's progressive. And then all the accumulated balances of everybody are collectively invested, not by Wall Street, but by a small little air computer that would just float in the middle of a huge room at the Health and Human Services building, hung on wires that nobody could see. And it would be doing all the investing in a global market-weighted index fund of stocks, bonds, and real estate. So everybody gets the same rate of return, and it is completely costless.
But let me ask you.
Oh, but let me just say one other thing. There's a guarantee of a zero real return on these account balances, so that if the market, you get at least what you put in adjusted for inflation.
So this is what I was going to ask you, because anytime you mention investing in stocks of any kind,
first
big fear is, well, when it comes time for me to retire, what if 2008 happens all over again?
Absolutely. But you have to realize that this would be invested not just in stocks, but around the world, but also in bonds and in real estate. But it's absolutely important to have a guaranteed floor.
I mean, there are many people out there who think that, yes, absolutely, Social Security needs to be fixed, but it doesn't necessarily need this, you know, complete wiping of the slate.
Economics says clearly what numbers we have to look at. We have to look at what's called the infinite horizon fiscal gap, what we economists call the intertemporal budget constraint of the economy. And so that's the real budget that has to be satisfied. And we're short $222 trillion. So we have to do a lot of things very seriously and very quickly to get that down. Now, I'm the only person in the country, as far as I can tell, who's actually talking about this number. They're all talking about 75-year fiscal gaps or 50-year fiscal gaps. So we have to look now at what the true story is, which is this long-term fiscal gap, and it is $222 trillion. We have to make headway on it.
Professor Kotlikoff, forgive me for asking this, but if you are the only person in the country who's looking at these particular numbers, maybe that's saying something.
Well, it's saying that what you hear from on the media are economists who are very much politicians. But there's a very large silent majority of economists who actually, you know, we have a science, and this is what it says to measure.
So as a final question for you, describe to me in real terms what you think America would look like 25, 50 years from now if we didn't undertake these sort of massive, from the ground up reforms that you're suggesting.
We're heading very much towards Argentina. That's what we're facing over time. So we're going to be stuck through the ages with older people that have been promised huge benefits that are unaffordable by the next generation, but they themselves pay it in. And that's the problem with this ongoing Ponzi scheme, this chain letter. You don't get out from under it unless you hurt somebody. And I want to try and get our country out from under with the least pain to everybody. And that's what the purple plans are all about.
Well, Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff is the creator and author of The Purple Plan. We'll have a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. He's also an economics professor at Boston University. Lawrence Kotlikoff, thanks so much for joining me.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, the conclusion of our series, Generation Stuck, a roadmap forward and how to become unstuck. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.